Hello and welcome back to Everyday Oral Surgery. This is your host, Dr. Grant Stuckey. I'm an oral maxillofacial surgeon practicing in Denver, Colorado, and I really appreciate you tuning into the episode today. Thanks to all those who have emailed and texted me ideas about topics for the podcast or guests they want to hear from. If you would like to be a guest on the show or know someone you'd like to hear from, please email me at grantstuckey@gmail.com. Also, please visit our website, everydayoralsurgery.com, if you'd like to search the podcast in an easier way by topic. We'd like to hear from everyone and really appreciate you guys listening. Keep in mind that everything we're discussing here is based on personal experience and opinions, so please supplement everything you're learning here with approved research studies. Without further ado, please enjoy today's episode. All right, welcome to another episode. Today I'm with Dr. Matthew Pham and Brian Farrell. Dr. Brian Farrell. Matthew is in South Carolina and Brian is in North Carolina. Thank you guys for joining me on the podcast again. I am excited to talk to you guys. How's everything going?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good on our end. Hope you're doing well, Grant.
Yeah, doing great. We've been cranking out a lot of episodes and trying to produce a lot of good content for the residents and surgeons around the country, and looking forward to this podcast as well.
Grant, are you, I'm sorry to interrupt, are you a solo? I mean, are you the writer, the producer, the director, the actor? I mean, everything? Or has this grown so big now that you need help?
So I do most of it except the editing. I do hire an editor who, you know, does all the sound editing and puts the intro and outro in and all that stuff. So I edit for content. I'm the one who finds all the guests and coordinates. I'm not that successful to be having an assistant to do that. But no, it's going well. And I think that's the challenge, is just mostly the timing, because we're all so busy, and finding time for, you know, anyone to take an hour is like pulling teeth, to use a metaphor there. Maybe we could start with Matthew. Could you just start a little bit by telling us kind of, you know, what's going on with the expansion of your guys' business?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the main reasons that I was so attracted to this group specifically, Carolina Center for Oral Facial Surgery, is kind of the model that we have of providing major surgery, but in an outpatient setting. And then the group has grown to the point where, you know, everyone is talking about private equity, where we kind of have evolved into a new entity called Flagship, which Brian can talk about. But it's grown where it just provides a lot of support for people to do what they want to do, but in a much more efficient private practice setting, as opposed to kind of what people traditionally think of for orthognathic or total joint replacement or things like that.
Anything to add to that, Brian?
Yeah, obviously in the world of oral and maxillofacial surgery, and let's just, for example, use the orthognathic side, it's so challenging to get an individual to the room. You know, obviously it starts with a referral and it starts with communication to an orthodontist, insurance submission, and these days, oftentimes a rubber stamp comes back that says no. It's sort of a game. And so you have to hire more and more individuals on the administrative side to help you navigate the no's and the appeals and the peer-to-peer. And so as that continues to sort of be a potential barrier, there's such an advantage to having those talented individuals in the administrative role. They're going to help you maintain your clinical practice. Unfortunately, a no comes at us a lot, no matter what you're doing. And it's important to have the infrastructure behind you to make sure that we can do what we want to do.
That's terrific. Yeah, I know there's a lot of groups starting up and been going for a while now, but it's good to see kind of a surgeon-centered, surgeon, you know, how do you say it, advised and founded group, along with people who are good at coordinating the administrative side. It's hopefully you guys can have a good mesh there and make things happen efficiently.
Listen, it's all about the surgeon, obviously. The surgeons are forward facing. It's our responsibility to obviously communicate with referrals, but also take care of those individuals that are in our care. But as we continue to grow and potentially expand our model, it's important to make sure that you have those talented people that are going to help you ensure that you can practice the way you want to practice. And that comes with cost, and that comes with increasing your own internal overhead and so forth. So it's certainly the face of the organization is obviously the surgeons, but at the same time, having that important infrastructure and supporting the infrastructure behind you is huge.
You know, I take it for granted because this is all that I know. But if you think of your day-to-day life, that something as simple as wisdom teeth, the insurance networks that I'm in network with helped me build a quick referral base. And then those insurances, because we have X amount of, you know, people in the group, we, from what I've heard from other surgeons who have joined our group, we get better reimbursement for the same procedures. And that's just your day-to-day wisdom teeth, everything like that. And then for, again, something like orthognathic surgery, my coordinator knows, hey, this person has this insurance. So these are the qualifications that we've had in the past. You know, you need to say, we need to make sure that we meet these qualifications when you submit your note. So they're just on top of that kind of stuff. And then I can also text Brian and say, hey, I have this peer-to-peer coming up. I'm not really sure why I got denied. And he has the experience to kind of give me some input on things that make sure that you kind of hone in on during that conversation. So there's both a clinical and an administrative side that we have the benefit of because everyone is looking to, has the same interest. Now, if it's TMJ, there's different people in the group. Same thing with, you know, we have surgeons who do cleft lip and palate. So it's just a really good network from both sides that kind of help you do what you want to do, whether it be orthognathic, trauma, pathology, or dental alveolar.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Listen, let me just expand on that, just for those surgeons out there that do have interest in, obviously you're going to submit things and we're going to get no's from the insurance provider. But what is important is to be an advocate for those patients. And unfortunately, that requires time on our hand to ensure that we're working as hard as we can to get those people the benefits that are within their policy. But for example, in the orthognathic world, you know, obviously you're going to submit. And when you submit things, it's clinical records, it's objective information. It's this much overjet, it's this much overbite, it's cephalometric analysis numbers, it's volumetric analysis of an airway and so forth. Oftentimes the people that we're talking to will meet the criteria of most policy language. But the focus whenever you're trying to do these appeals is truly to bring it to the medical necessity, because that's where the medical directors who happen to be a primary care physician or a nurse practitioner, and nothing against those individuals, but that's why the rubber stamp comes out, because it's too easy to say no, but that's where the surgeon could be more efficient in terms of turning these denials the other way by now quickly stating the objective, but making sure that we're focusing on the medical necessity side. I use the simple analogy of eating a piece of pizza. If you have a bite that comes together efficiently, you may be able to eat that piece of pizza start to finish in 100 bites or chews. Well, if we look at those individuals that are sitting in our office with a bite that's skewed, truly 50% of those teeth may touch. Well, that often means repetitive posturing of the jaw. It means it's going to take more than 100 bites to finish the pizza. You take that from that meal of pizza to other meals, and it just continues to add up. And that's where things might create problems. Overuse, muscles, arthritis, arthralgia, headaches, et cetera, et cetera. That's where we need to be focused on our appeals. And that's where we get our insurance coordinators to make sure that they focus their efforts on establishing the medical necessity. When we do that, we see, again, better reimbursement, or I should say, better coverage. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Question I have for you is in regards to your advice for residents, because there's a lot of residents now coming out who are, you know, being courted by different venture capital groups, and the whole landscape's changed so quickly over the last almost year or 2 years. But what advice would you give to residents who are trying to, you know, figure out what kind of group to join here?
I'll leave that to Matt. He's closer to it.
Yeah, what would you say?
If you talk to the surgeons who have recently joined that group or see the kind of turnover, it gives you a pretty good perspective. You know, in our group, I spoke to surgeons who had been here and just nobody had really left from what I could see. So that A was a good sign. But I think a lot of my friends or other people that I knew who went into groups who did leave is just because what they ended up doing when they got there wasn't what they were expecting. Meaning, I think a lot of places will say, hey, you know, we do this, but you can do full scope if you want. But if you don't have the resources to do a double jaw and you're trying to do that by yourself without block time at 4 p.m. on a Friday and with a scrub tech who says they've never done anything dental, that you just have to have some of the infrastructure there. So we're not saying do orthognathic surgery necessarily, but whatever it is you do want to do, whether it be full arch implants or anything like that, just see that, you know, it's possible to do that, because I think that's what is important, is just having the longevity to do what you actually enjoy.
I think it's about the practice that you're looking to join. And to use the thought of, you know, maybe you grew up in this town and you've known that oral surgeon, and maybe the plan has been to come back and hopefully practice in that town. Well, remember, when you join that practice, the practice essentially has its entity and it has its scope. And if, in fact, you intend on coming back to that practice and you want to add something to the scope that exists, it's an uphill battle. For example, again, the jaw guys, Matt and I, you know, if you haven't done jaw surgery in a practice and now you want to come back, it's going to be work. Now, can it be done? Absolutely. And call on Matt, call on myself. We'll be more than happy to come out and talk to a group of orthodontists to explain how talented you are as an oral surgeon. But at the same time, again, it's about making sure an understanding of what you want to do when you grow up and making sure that you have the clinical autonomy and the practice that you want to practice. And if, in fact, it's you want to take out teeth and you want to place implants, that is the best. That's awesome. If you want to have a bigger scope, and it may be head and neck, it may be cosmetics, you simply need to make sure, obviously, you get that training to make sure that when you go out that you're ready to handle it. And number two is you're joining a place is familiar with it. It just makes it less of a fight.
And I will say that if you want to do any of the more maxillofacial surgery side of things, you really do take for granted how much you do of that in residency versus when you come out. So, you know, in residency at your training program, I'm sure you were doing a bunch of trauma, pathology, all that stuff literally weekly. If you go to a practice and say, I'll go back to doing it, I think it just ends up being a lot more difficult than you think. I think after a year of not doing, say, facial trauma, and you have to make a submandibular incision, it's just, you get a little bit more uncomfortable a little bit quickly. So if you have interest in that, just find ways to stay involved right out of the gate. Take trauma call or find other surgeons in the area you're doing and scrubbing cases with them. And, you know, it might not be financially lucrative to do that, but I think keeping those skills active is really important as opposed to letting them get stagnant and trying to come back to it. I mean, it's hard enough, like if I had orthognathic referrals right away, but they're not ready for surgery after a year of braces. If I don't do an ortho case for a whole year and the first one to try to show orthodontics that I'm doing is, you know, a BSSO a year later, that's going to be nerve wracking. So it's good to have partners who are doing those cases where I can scrub in and do all that stuff and just make sure that I'm keeping up to tune with all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying for sure. It's so nice to, if you're planning on doing that bigger scope, to join a group that's already doing it. It's just very difficult. And a lot of guys will try the uphill battle like Brian's talking about and, you know, half, maybe more than half will quit because it is just so taxing to start it up when it hasn't been there, but much more fluid when the group's already doing that and it's kind of a well-oiled machine.
Well, if you go to a practice that's doing dental care only and you start doing trauma and orthognathic, and then those patients are in the waiting area all wrapped up in Curlex and swollen and things like that, everyone is just a little bit taken aback by the change in things. It's hard to make changes in practice that have been doing it for 20-30 years. So I just think it's easier to join a place that is already used to the flow of it.
And just to expand on that real quickly, remember, we talked about this briefly. Matt and I are in the same practice, but our offices are likely separated by roughly about 90 miles. So the nice thing about Matt coming underneath the umbrella, so to speak, is Matt has taken the jaw surgery aspect to a different town, a different city, and he simply has expanded the model that we've been using for years. And Matt, as a go-getter, has taken it on, and 90 miles away, he's now using, you know, all the references and all the administrative aspect and all the contracts and all of the infrastructure to do office-based surgery in Columbia, South Carolina. And listen, if Matt has a case and he needs help, I'll be there. Let's just try and schedule it on a day that I have a window. So the point is, remember, you don't have to physically be underneath the umbrella or underneath the roof to continue to do the larger scope practice. It's just, you know, maybe that's the advantage of CCOFS is we have the luxury of, listen, let's take the model and expand it. And we're putting fingers out and extending it throughout the Southeast. You know, listen, Matt's taken referrals from me, and that's brilliant. Listen, stay in Columbia. You don't need to travel to Charlotte, North Carolina, because Matt's brilliant and he can take it. That's the beauty of kind of expansion of the model.
All my tough orthognathic cases go on Mondays because that's his free day. So my coordinator knows that.
Nice. Yeah. Good plan.
And I'll be there anytime. Anytime he needs me, I'll be there. And,
well, and then the infrastructure too, you know, we make a really big emphasis of if you want to do major surgery, we set it up so that way there are Triple HC accredited ORs on site for a couple of reasons. A, it holds everything to a high quality of standard, but when you're doing surgery in office, you can then see post-ops, consult, things like that in between. It makes for a much more efficient day as opposed to sitting in the physician's lounge at the hospital for all of your cases with an hour turnover. And then obviously talking about insurances, you now have your facility fees and all the things like that associated with the major insurances that again, make the major surgery much more, profitable, efficient and everything like that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Sounds like a lot more efficient than sitting around at a hospital between cases, just wasting time.
The more and more that Matt does, and again, I'm just sort of using Matt because he's obviously on the podcast and he's doing great. But remember, Matt can call me down for a complex case, but we're very fortunate to have the fellows who are here and get tons of exposure. And so, yeah, now if it's that case that is pretty straightforward, and I'm not going to say routine because all our surgeries in the oral surgery world are not generally too routine. It's complex and it's surgery and it's important. But yeah, the benefit is we now have fellows that can come down and help Matt in the office because they're getting tons of exposure to jaws, to arthroscopy, to joints, to full arch, to cosmetics, to cleft and so forth. So we're really proud and ecstatic about the fellows that can help us out tremendously as assistant surgeons.
That's awesome. Currently, you've merged in your half a dozen kind of OMS groups, or how large are you at the moment?
Well, CCOFS, because of the fact that we brought several groups underneath our umbrella, CCOFS currently has 22 locations, 34 oral and maxillofacial surgeons practicing or delivering care. Two of those are fellows and one resident. And then the infrastructure also has in-house anesthesiologists, in-house CRNAs, in-house prosthodontists, and a biomedical engineering lab that helps us with our implant guides and planning and so forth. So,
hey guys, real quick, KLS Martin is offering a summer sale special that includes 35% off instruments and a BNR special that includes two free handpieces with the purchase of a console. This is an amazing offer and it's limited to one console promotion per customer and is only valid until July 31st, 2023. So the BNR ChiroPro L allows for both implantology and surgical applications with up to 80,000 RPMs, which I love. I use it on the 80,000 RPM setting every time I'm doing thermolar extractions and have no issues with power or comfort or control. I just love how they feel in my hand when I'm using them, and I just can't say enough about this system. So please use the promo code capital EOSS, lowercase UMMER 2023 to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy.
It's a multi-specialty platform.
And oral facial pain. For all of us doing TMJ surgery, the oral facial pain specialists are a game changer.
I didn't mean to have one in
Columbia, one in Greenville, and one in Charlotte. And they really do help with the non-surgical management of, trigger point injection, splint therapy, medical management. It's really nice to have a handoff, hey, this is fixed from a surgical standpoint. I'm not going to be managing the gabapentin and all that kind of stuff. That's also a huge aspect of the group.
Yeah, great point. I apologize about not mentioning our oral medicine and oral pain people because, boy, they're an asset. And I think any listener out there on your podcast, Grant, if they have an interest in doing TMJ, looking into that conservative TMJ individual is truly advantageous. Our TMJ individuals obviously want to do the surgical component of it, but the benefit of letting the oral pain individuals, the conservative TMJ individuals, truly work those individuals up, and those that are refractory get referred to the surgeons. And so it can help take a tremendous load off the TMJ people as opposed to taking one or two out of 100 to do an arthroscopic procedure or arthrocentesis or whatever. Now the quality's improved because of the fact that they've been kind of weeded through the system. Yeah.
Yeah, we have one in Columbia, and for our system, the way it works is unless they're truly locked or they have a ankylosis, they see him first. So that way, by the time they see me, they've already done the 6 weeks of conservative management. They already have an MRI and it's already pretty much seen that they're going to benefit from surgery. So my consult to surgery right before he came down was literally probably, single digit percent. And now it's well over 50%. So it saves your time and a lot of headache too.
Oh, that's tremendous. And you're currently like actively recruiting, or where are you at from being able to add surgeons to your group?
Always, always looking for talent, always looking for individuals, whether it be from a fellowship perspective, whether it be from an addition perspective, individuals who have an interest in doing this to think about coming underneath the umbrella. So that way we can bring the administrative help, we can bring the mentorship and so forth. So yeah, always, always looking. In fact, that's a great lead in to some of the things that Matt's been putting together, kind of spearheading some courses and things like that, that CCOFS and Flagship is looking to hold in the near future. We'll get to that, I'm sure. But yeah, always, always interested. And people are always welcome to come to town to view the model. And hopefully we truly believe and hope that by visiting us, maybe you can take a pearl or two, and maybe that lets you get back to your neck of the woods, your part of the country, and hopefully you can implement it and carry it on and help the oral and maxillofacial specialty in general. Hopefully this podcast doesn't come across as too pounding our chest and we're the best. We're not saying we have it all figured out. We really don't. And in fact, if someone has things that we can learn, we'd be receptive, we'd be open ears, anything we can do to be better on our end as well. But yeah, it's about being collaborative. And if we can help an individual, whether they're a resident or in practice and vice versa, that's all going to make us better. And it's better for patient care and outcomes. So yeah.
And we talked about surgery, but obviously any groups who are still doing more traditional dental velar surgery, I think we just are looking, any group who is considering to be a part of either a DSO or another umbrella, anything like that, this is just another option to consider. And obviously, you know, Brian said, we're still learning. The flagship entity itself is about 18 months in, I think, officially. And as things happen, you know, people are figuring logistics out. But I think everyone was always making efforts to improve on things. And it's been good to see that all of the big decisions still kind of come down to the surgeons who are on the board. And I think that gives a lot of us who are younger a lot of confidence that it's headed in the right direction.
I like that a lot. Can you talk to us, Matt, a little bit about kind of the educational arm of your group and kind of what are some of the educational type courses and things you're offering?
Yeah, some of the stuff that we've been doing before I was here was different types of cadaver courses with the fellows and the residents. A lot of people come to observe orthognathic surgery within our group. And that's one of the things that LSU residents get when they rotate here. But then starting last year, we started having a cadaver course that invited residents nationally. And we had custom plates and we were doing, you know, more straightforward osteotomies, but also some things that were more complex intraoral inverted L's. And that was really neat because we got to start to meet residents from around the country instead of just the ones that rotated with us. And Brian did a lecture in the morning. We had cadaver and we had a bunch of the partners there who did the fellowship. We're doing a lot of jaw surgery. And I think that aspect of the group is really unique because we have the education. We have a little research section where the fellows help out. We just are submitting a paper regarding combined orthognathic and dental implant, full arch dental implants, and a paper on sleep apnea and Brian's technique on the genie glasses advancement. Some of the results we've gotten from that. So we're able to kind of branch out to certain things because we have so many resources of residents, fellows, people who are able to kind of pull through on ideas that we have. But one thing that I thought would have been really neat is a course. Obviously, there's a lot of good board review courses. You had Rob Reddy and all of them on recently. And I went to the St. Louis board review course and liked it a lot. And I think there is, you know, a handful of really good review courses out there. But we wanted to do one that was a foundational for setting for oral boards, but also exposed residents to different types of technology that may not be a part of their residency. You know, some programs do more trauma, some do more orthognathic. So we're going to be hosting a course where there's essentially around 10 stations, and some of them are more basic to run you through different board scenarios, the different sections and things that we talked about in your one episode, but also some stations where we have an expert in that field, not only walking you through a mock case and seeing how you treatment plan it, but then helping you learn how we would treatment plan that on a live VSP session with an engineer from different plating systems. So Brian will be at a station where you do an orthognathic. And again, you're learning how to just verbalize things, how to talk about a workup for an orthognathic, different complications. But then when it comes time to treatment planning, you have on your screen the CT scan that we just did the mock for. And you can, in your head, see how you would do it. And then he gives some pointers. Oh, you know, this is how to design the plate. And if it's something that you don't have your program, you can bring back and now have a lot more confidence of how to explain it to your attendings. Hey, you know, I saw this here. Is this something that you'd want to try? And just gives more exposure to residents who might otherwise not be doing that at their program, which I think will be a really cool way to interact with residents who might be interested in the group, but also just to kind of see how other people are doing it. We're going to be having some people from outside the group, and I'm excited to see what cases people bring and what type of technology the different vendors are going to be showcasing as well.
Yeah, it's tremendous. Good resource to offer.
Yeah, and I'll just add briefly to that. Yeah, listen, we're very fortunate to utilize some of our industry partners to help us host these cadaver labs. It's basically kind of a surgical observation cadaver lab. So we're fortunate to have individuals come to town and spend a little time observing the surgical procedure in our office, but also learn the model. We try and give them some didactic. We try and give them some exposure to planning and so forth, like Matt said, just to kind of walk through it and experience it and understand it. And that's tremendous. And truly, it helps us on our side from a fellow perspective, because our fellows are truly doing a lot of the education. They're running our dental facial deformity conference. Romeo and Kimiko had a large hand in helping us put that course together and doing a lot of the education during the course, whether it be in the OR or during our cadaver lab. But what I was going to kind of continue to expand on Matt's thought regarding this course that we're holding is, you know, we're looking to call it a Rising Chiefs course. And we're looking to hopefully bring in individuals to town and ultimately bring these individuals to town to get them exposure to all facets of oral surgery. And again, they may know a lot of this, but at the same time, when you potentially touch or have an individual before they become a chief, then it gives us the ability to hopefully maybe expand some information or some knowledge that they were unaware of. Maybe they don't do that in their practice, but now it gives them their chief year where they can be like looking in the clinic for more internal derangement if they want or have an interest in doing more arthrocentesis, or they may get some understanding on the orthognathic side in terms of the planning to maybe understand that, hey, if our residency always does plates with monocortical screws, hey, we learned a little bit about how you might be able to do this with a lag screw technique. And so all we're trying to do is provide just a bit of maybe some increased information on all of those facets of oral surgery that now allows you to go back as a chief resident and hopefully allows you to have the best chief year possible. So listen, we're really excited about it. We're going to host it in the fall of this coming year because we want to get something moving. But then the hope would truly be to move it to the spring, to where we're taking individuals who have the chief year on the horizon to town, and let's spend a good educational weekend, collaboration and learning. And that way, hopefully we can make those individuals excited about their chief year to do things that not only they already know, but maybe some things that they're not familiar with. Yeah. So we're really excited. And Matt is spearheading all that, and he's going to take it on, and I'm happy. He's going to tell me what to do, and I'll be there to do it.
Funny how it all worked out, because maybe a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, I had texted Brian and some of the other partners in the group, Franco and Hal, and I said, hey, like, we should put this course together. And obviously, we don't know all the details of logistics of hotel availability and everything. So within the last month and a half, we were able to get a hotel in Charlotte November 11th and 12th. Like Brian said, it would be ideal, would probably be a little bit early in the year moving forward. But the resources that we have as far as connections with vendors and with different speakers, within a couple of months, we put together a pretty good itinerary. It's neat to be in a group where you can have an idea like this, text your partners, and the next thing you know, it's on the papers, on the books, scheduled to go.
Yeah, that is so cool. Sounds like a good resource that could really help a lot of residents and kind of get people going in their chief year and also in their practices and have a good idea of kind of what they're looking for.
Like, yeah, and that's the ideal population is kind of the rising, you know, the fifth year in a PGY or in a 6 year program or a third year. But we understand that maybe there's a fourth year in you that, you know, you get more time during your rotation that year. Or we've had a lot of people who are graduated but want to come, A, to review boards, but also to kind of see what technology is available. So we call it the Rising Chiefs course. But if there's people who are interested, obviously, we're going to try our best to accommodate everybody. But anyone who is in that, you know, fifth year or third year or anything around there and wants to attend, just reach out to me and we'll do our best to get everyone involved who wants to be.
Sounds good. Well, good. That's a good review. Any other comments that you wanted to make on kind of what your group's doing or any other thoughts about it?
Listen, if you don't mind, let me give a little kudos. It's been sort of a celebratory week. Obviously, as we end June and start July. Listen, congratulations for all those out there that have graduated residency. I was just in Michigan a couple weeks ago helping them out with their, I didn't help them at all, but I talked to them regarding their graduates. But kudos to all those individuals out there that are moving on. You're moving on, whether it's graduation and going out into private practice, whether it's graduating from oral surgery and going into a fellowship, or whether it's going from 5 to 6 or 3 to 4. Congratulations to everybody and best of luck in July. But all I wanted to do was take this opportunity publicly to say, Romeo and Kimiko, well done. They were our fellows this year. Romeo came to us from Nova and he's heading to Philadelphia. Kimiko came to us from USC out in California, and she's heading back to California to work for Kaiser. Just tremendous individuals and so forth. We're really excited about Chad, who's coming to us, and Matt, who's coming to us for another fellowship year. At CCOFS, this is the 17th year. This is the start of our 17th year of fellowship, and super excited regarding their new year coming, but just wanted to spend a quick second to say thank you to those guys. They're fantastic, and wish them the best, and wish everyone the best that, again, is getting out there and starting new things. Awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thanks for saying that. Yeah, you got to celebrate each year of residency.
The new interns who are starting this week, you know, every single stage.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't get hurt this week, everybody. Don't get hurt this week.
And Kimiko and Romeo,
and you know, what's interesting, we just had fellow orientation. And listen, I'll giggle about this. We had fellow orientation here yesterday to get Matt Daly and Chad Damling from Pittsburgh and UAB respectively up to speed. And I will tell you, they've got it. The hardest part of the fellow orientation is learning every hospital's EMR, two-factor authentication, just understanding the flow. So it's truly about settling in and just, you know, it's about the apprenticeship of hopefully getting a little bit of overlap from the people that were there before that can truly tell you the ins and outs. On the fellowship side, people will ask me, oh, what's this? I said, guess what? You better ask Romeo and Kimiko, because I have no idea how to do this, how to do that. But listen, it's all the administrative side. This is what we started this conversation with.
Yep.
The oral surgeon knows that.
Frankly, there's for granted. He has been at the same hospital, you know, for forever. And we got him credentialed at Lexington Medical Center, which is down in Columbia. And the first case we had there that day, he had to get his badge that morning. So I took him to the security office and they said, I just need to see a driver's license. And Brian looked at him and said, I don't got one. And I said, well, you have like a photo of one on your phone or just anything? And he's like, maybe. And he showed him a picture of his ID on his phone and they gave him the ID badge, luckily. But that's how little administration, you know, we want to be involved with as far as handling, you know, credentialing and all that kind of stuff. So it's an uphill battle for sure.
Yeah, this first week for everybody, whether you're starting as an intern, you know, it just feels like you're underwater. But remember, obviously, you're going to get through the week and just understanding, you know, how to find the labs and where the call room. I mean, I know I'm, you know, the people have externs, so they know where the call room is. But best of luck to everyone this first week as July starts, because, yeah, things are running a little slower in July.
Yep. Got to be patient for everybody involved and got to get through those first few months. It gets easier. Well, good. All right. Well, thank you guys for taking the time to do that. If you're good, I can put your emails or some type of contact information in the show notes so any listeners can reach out to you if you're okay with that.
Yeah, definitely reach out about the group, about the course. We're excited about both, obviously. So we're always happy to talk to anybody.
Sounds yeah, and good. Matt, just reiterate those dates again so that way people can hear the specifics.
Yeah, so it'll be this year, it's November 11th and 12th, but we'll have a welcome reception on the 10th, which is Friday, and it's going to be at the JW Marriott in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Good. We'll put that in the show notes as well. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, have a good one. Thanks for your time.
You too.
Yeah, Grant, all the best. Wait. I thought we were going to do what forceps takes out this premolar or what book I've read, what movie I've seen. I mean, I was literally prepared. I was literally going through forceps today trying to figure out what you were going to ask me.
Dusting them off. We did ask rapid fire questions before.
I'm good. I'm joking. It's a Friday afternoon and the weekend should start. So anyway, listen, all the best to everybody and great to see you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Everyday Oral Surgery. Once again, please email me at grantstuckey@gmail.com if you have any topics you'd like to hear about, guests you'd like to hear from, or if you yourself would love to be a guest, please, please email me or text me at 720-441-6059. And I also just love hearing from people. If you enjoy the podcast or, you know, learn something from it or talk to a friend or connected with someone because of the podcast, that just makes my day. So please shoot that correspondence over to me and I will see you on the next episode. Thank you.